Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Oh, yes, friends, it's time. It is so time. It is a very somber day here in the U.S. and for the world. It is September 11th. This is Awaken America. And we are at a tipping point with this great awakening. We need to be empowered. And we've got a really great show planned for you today. We're going to do our Yasha Perforce part of the show. We are going to go through some things with COVID. We are going to talk, of course, a little bit about our history. And we're going to talk a little bit about September 11th. So I'm just, you know, my heart is heavy. My heart is heavy right now. And I know God's word tells us, let your heart not be troubled. But I'm an empath. And I see, you know, what's going on in our country right now. And all those who sacrificed their lives on September 11th because of radical Islamic terrorists. Okay? They were radical Islamic terrorists, friends. The same people that Joe Biden's government, because we the people, the patriots don't want that BS. The same kind of people that left almost $90 billion of our military equipment to. But, you know, we're gonna remember the heroes, and we're going to, you know, realize how strong we are. When that flag went up, I saw a program about that 9/11 flag, and if you could catch it, it was with Brad Meltzer, and I guess it was lost. We'll talk a little bit about that, too. But, friends, let's start off our show with Jesus calling. And if I do sound like a little emotional, it's because I really am. I'm, you know, looking at what's going on. But you know what? We are called to pray about everything. Pray without ceasing. And that's what our Bible tells us, 1 Thessalonians 5:17. So today is September 11th. And let's start off with Jesus calling, because God is in control of everything. This is from Jesus Calling by Sarah Young, and it's for today, September the 11th. Rejoice in me always, no matter what is going on. You can rejoice in your love relationship with me. This is the secret of being content in all circumstances. So many people dream of the day when they will finally be happy, when they are out of debt, when their children are out of trouble, when they have more leisure time, and so on. While they daydream, their moments are trickling into the ground like precious bombs spilling wastefully from overturned bottles. Fantasizing about future happiness will never bring fulfillment, because fantasy is unreality. Even though I am invisible, I am far more real than the world you see around you. My reality is eternal and unchanging. Bring your moments to me, and I will fill them with vibrant joy. Now is the time to rejoice in my presence. Let's go to God's throne and receive his peace. Father God, you know the beginning from the end. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his blood. We thank you for the freedom he offers us. Lord, we do know and understand that our country and what we've sinned against you. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people humble themselves and ask for forgiveness, I will heal their land. Father God, please heal our land, God. Please heal our land. Please heal the hearts of all those that lost loved ones on September 11th. Please, God, please give them your peace, your love, your empowerment, your freedom, Father, and your wisdom. We ask that for our leaders of our country. We ask that as individuals. Please give us your wisdom, God, your wisdom, your peace, your love. Yes, we are your children, and we know that you love us, Father. God, also please bless all of those in Afghanistan and that country where all this horror is going on. And God, expose the truth. Expose the truth of what people have done duplicitously to make money. God, you know the beginning from the end, and you know the evil, wicked, greedy people. They go and they're not public servants. They're personal promoters, and they do things that harm the people but enrich themselves, Father. So expose them. Expose them and let them be held into account. We know that on Judgment Day, they will be accountable to you and you alone. But God, this nation was founded on principles. They were founded on principles, a constitution for godly men and no other. John Adams said that. We spoke about John Adams, I believe, a couple days ago. So God, we thank you for our country. We thank you for your peace. We thank you for the liberty that we find in you. And Lord, we know if we fight all of our battles on our knees, we will be victorious every time. So we take in your peace. We take in your love. We take in your empowerment. We receive it. We receive healing for our land. We receive the truth because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father. There will be a judgment day, Lord. We know it. And we thank you for it. We are not worthy to receive you, but Lord, we ask that your Holy Spirit fill us richly with your power. We ask and pray these things in the strong name of Jesus, and we trust in you with all of our hearts, and we receive it, and we are covered by his blood, and thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we know that you answer prayers because your word tells us whatever you ask for in prayer with faith and believing you will receive. So we receive it now in Jesus' name. Glory be to you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Son. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We receive it. Amen and amen and amen. Heal our land, God. All right, so friends, that was the Yasha Prayer Force part of our show, and thank you for joining us here on Awaken America, Awaken to Empowerment, and let's save the USA. Let's save the USA. We are totally at a tipping point right now because there's so much I want to share, but let's go. We're going to go into our shocking secrets, and then I've got a lot more. So I got a little more time on the show planned for today. So buckle up. It's going to be interesting. I'm just, as I said, I'm a little beclempt because I remember that day, but remember, woke is a joke. We need to be awakened. And something that we talk about, TJ, all the time, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what never was and never will be. That was from Thomas Jefferson. And we're going to unpack some of our history. And this is from The Shocking Secrets of American History. And that is by Bill Coate. And it's 115 surprising and amusing tales. Yeah, we had some colorful things here, but now we're going to talk, according to this book, the real beginning of the Civil War, okay? You're going to hear things on Awaken America, Awaken to Empowerment Radio. You'll never hear anywhere else. I'm Carol Parisi, and again, I want to thank you for joining me. And I'm telling you, friends, buckle up. The show is going to have, you're going to have so much information. We're going to talk about COVID and the vax and public schools, Second Amendment. We got a lot of stuff to talk about because we are a constitutional republic. It's a republic, ma'am, if you could keep it. Are we keeping it? And this is a very somber day because this is the Remembrance Day of 20 years of September 11th. So we are going to talk about some of our heroes because we can never forget. Okay, we have to remember who we are, and we can never forget. So here we go. The American Civil War began under the administration of Abraham Lincoln, or so the history books tell us. We have been taught that the first shots of that terrible conflict were fired on April 12th of 1861 when the North attempted to reinforce Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor. A closer look, however,
raises some doubts as to precisely when the war began and who was president at the time. Bum, bum, bum. With the election of Abraham Lincoln in 1860, South Carolina seceded from the Union and was soon followed by six other southern states. The fat was in the fire, but it was President James Buchanan who had to cook it, not Abraham Lincoln. The president-elect wouldn't take office until March. Buchanan would have loved to just let things simmer until the inauguration of the new president, but he was backed into a corner. The recently occupied garrison of Fort Sumter was badly in need of supplies. So, in early January, he ordered the Star of the West, a merchant ship, to deliver the much-needed provisions down the coast it went to Charleston. On January 9th, it reached its destination. Unfortunately, South Carolina was ready. Buchanan's Secretary of State, John Floyd, not to be confused with George Floyd, a Southern sympathizer, had warned the rebel authorities that the Star of the West was on its way, and the battery of ancient cadets from the Citadel positioned several guns at the shore. When the supply ship entered the harbor, they let loose with the first shots of the Civil War, three of which hit the Star of the West. With that, the Star retreated to open waters and returned to its home port. She had been driven off by hostile fire, but as we said, the fat was in the fire. When Lincoln was sworn in, one of his first acts was to reorder the provisioning of Fort Sumter. Sumter, S-U-M-T-E-R, Sumter. The second attempt was likewise repelled by the rebels, and there was no turning back. The war maybe have begun in earnest on April 12th of 1861, but the first shots over Fort Sumter, that's cute, were fired months before while James Buchanan, not Abraham Lincoln, occupied the White House. Well, we are definitely going to talk more tomorrow or next time we do our show about Fort Sumter. I don't know why I have such an issue saying that. You know, I've got a couple words that just kind of blurb up in my mouth. But yes, Fort Sumter. Interesting. Remember, friends, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what was and never will be. We cannot be an ignorant nation. And we can't be a woke nation because woke is a joke. We need to awaken America. We need to awaken America to the truth. We need to awaken to who we really are. And we can't forget, like the Lion King says, remember who you are. Okay, let's see. I have some great things here I do want to share. And let's remember some of our first principles, okay? See, the left will use our ignorance because, see, like Thomas Jefferson said, you can't be ignorant and free, so they want to use the ignorance. And it's one of their most powerful tools to undermine our true liberty and freedom. Okay, we need good education and that are essential to our liberty and freedom. And, you know, we have first principles, our amendments, First Amendment, freedom of speech, freedom of religion, okay, our Second Amendment. Remember, our Second Amendment is essential for the preservation of this freedom. And if we are denied these means of defending this freedom, we will eventually lose all of our freedom. Now, think about these college university campuses and all their little safe spaces. And, you know, I guess not long ago, the University of Virginia canceled its traditional 21-gun salute on Veterans Day. You know why? The administration was concerned that firing guns in honor of those who served their country and did their part to defend our freedom would cause panic among the student body. Okay? We have a bunch of snowflakes
we have raised a bunch of snowflakes in this country, and we are a country. We need more heroes, not more zeros and snowflakes that are triggered, okay? We are a country. When that flag went up from, he was a Greek man, and he had a shipping company. He was a Greek immigrant, one of his American dreams, and one firefighter took the flag. Let's see if I have the story here for you. I don't have it here. One of the firefighters, you got to check this out, though, this wonderful flag off a ship of this gentleman, this Greek gentleman, off of one of his business ships. And they put it up. Three firemen put it up. And then they lost this flag for a while, and you could really check it out. It's the lost 9/11 flag. It was a great story. Maybe I'll find it, and I'll share it with you again tomorrow. But it was about brave people, and that flag going up moved so many people because our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave? We need brave heroes. We need to keep our first principles. We are losing our freedoms and our liberties. And ultimately, there'll be justice for none. If we keep losing our freedoms and liberties, there will be justice for none, not justice for all. But see, we've gotten so into this, LGBTQXTWRYZ, gay marriage, critical race theory, all these things that really... You know what? If you're gay, be gay. If you're a man and feel like you're a woman, go for it. Whatever. You could do whatever you want to do, but you don't have to be indoctrinating the masses to all this. So we need to first principles. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness. Like Dr. Martin Luther King said, and I have a dream. We need to live up to these things. Where all men are created equal. Yes, all persons are created equal. Endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Okay? We know these unalienable rights. Life, liberty, pursuit of happiness and property. But now you've got these stupid dinglings talking about this Great Reset. And it's like the Great Reset. Own nothing, be happy. Really? It's antithetical to our founding first principles. Okay? This is going to happen. They are trying, like, they're doing this like crazy. We spoke, you might want to check out some of our shows the past couple days on September 9th and 10th, because we spoke clearly about Kamala Harris's affiliation with China and Russia and how, Joe Biden clearly is struggling in his cognitive ability. So there's so much going on here. You've got to be awakened because... Woke is a joke. We cannot be sleeping at the wheel here. So, friends, you got to go check out those other shows. And got some more things we want to talk about today. We're going to talk a little bit about that COVID vaccine. We're going to talk a little bit about seven incredible heroes from 9/11. So we're going to hit some of these people. A 24-year-old equities trader helped at least a dozen people get out, and then he went back in with firefighters to save more. Just a few minutes after the United Airlines Flight 175 struck the South Tower of the World Trade Center, 24-year-old Wells Crowther called his mother and calmly left a voice message. "Mom, this is Wells. I want you to know that I'm okay." He was an equity trader at Sandra O'Neill and Partners on the 104th floor. But after that call, the man who was a volunteer firefighter in his teens made his way down the 78th floor sky lobby and became a hero to strangers. He saved a lot of people. And it said here, Crowder's body was later recovered alongside firefighters in a stairwell heading back up to the tower with the Jaws of Life rescue tool, according to Mick. So he said everyone who could stand while he was directing them to a stairway, he told survivors, if you could help others do so. So a group of strangers teamed up to take back the United Flight 93, preventing the plane from killing untold number of people in the U.S. Capitol. And this was on approximately 9:28 a.m. Remember United Flight 93. It was hijacked by four Al-Qaeda radical Islamic terrorists, the same people Joe Biden gave $85 billion, $86 billion, $89 billion of our military equipment to a few weeks ago. I mean, yes, Al-Qaeda, okay, they call themselves different things. ISIS, ISIL, the Taliban, they all have the same goal, okay? They're all in the same pot of garbage, all right? But Flight 93 had heroes on it, not a bunch of snowflakes, okay? See, this was after two of the planes had already hit the World Trade Center, and the passengers on United 93 huddled in the back of the plane and were beginning to find out what the real plan was. So several passengers made phone calls to their loved ones. Here, a woman, Dina Bartlett, told her husband, Tom, they're hijacking planes all up and down the East Coast. And Dina Barton told her husband, Tom, a passenger on United 93, in a cell phone call at 9:34, they are taking them and hitting them in designated targets. They've already hit both towers of the World Trade Center. And another phone call, Tom learned from his wife that another plane just hit the Pentagon. We have to do something, Burnett told his wife at 9:45 a.m. I'm putting a plan together. Other passengers, including Mark Bingham and Jeremy Glick and Todd Beamer, were learning similar details in their own phone calls as the plane was barreling towards Washington, D.C. The passengers voted on whether to fight back against the hijackers led by the four-man group. The passengers rushed the cockpit with Beamer rallying them in his last words, you ready? Okay, let's roll. Let's roll. That's a hero, people. This is from The Guardian. From 9:57, the cockpit recorder picks up the sounds of the fighting and an aircraft losing control at 30,000 feet. The crash of trolleys, dishes being hurled and smashed, the terrorists scream at each other to hold the door against what obviously was a siege from the cabin. A passenger cries, let's get them! And there are more screaming than apparent breach. Give it to Mel. Give it to me, shouts a passenger apparently about to seize the controls. Instead of the plane hitting its intended target, believed to be the White House or Capitol building, it crashed into an empty field in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, killing all 44 passengers on board. Two former U.S. Marines, the number three, put their uniforms back on and searched through the rubble that could have collapsed at any moment. They found two survivors. 27-year-old Jason Thomas was dropping his daughter off at his mother's Long Island home. When he heard what happened, he changed into the Marine Corps uniform he had sitting in his trunk. We're at war, former Marine sergeant said to his colleagues. And that would be Dave Carnes, who was working in his office at Detroit, watching the attack unfold. More heroes. Two flight attendants, American Airlines Flight 11, calmly relayed information on the hijackers that would help the FBI determine the perpetrators that were from Al-Qaeda. Can you imagine being so calm? Yeah. I guess Nida Gonzalez was one. And she told people to pray for them. And Michael Woodward, I believe, was another one. And Rick Riscoria was responsible for saving more than 2,700 lives as he sang songs to keep people calm while they evacuated. Oh, my God. He was a hero of the battlefields of Vietnam. And two unarmed F-16s scrambled to stop any other hijacked airlines. And the pilots were prepared to give their lives to stop them. And, interesting, right? Major Heather Penny recalled to the Washington Post, we wouldn't be shooting it down. We'd be ramming the aircraft. It would essentially be a kamikaze pilot. There you go. And then a tour guide at the Pentagon gave medical aid to injured outside, then went back into the building while it was still in flames. Army Special Bo Dobzhensky was working as a tour guide. So, friends, these are heroes. These are not a bunch of snowflakes. Okay, he could have gone home. But Dobzhensky ended up running around that building to get to the crash and was stopped by police, but eventually went around the barricades. And when people started screaming out of the building and screaming toward the crash site, he altered between treating his 6 coworkers and crashing the inferno with a team of 6 men. So it's just remembering some that's from an article that I have here and from the Insider. So let's remember those heroes of 9/11. There's a lot more. I mean, you know, got to keep their memory alive, and there's a lot of information. It's all over the television. It almost, you know, there's the red bandana man. He was given this bandana by his dad, and a lot of these things are heartbreaking. But now there's something that's really interesting, and it's about the Harbinger. And this is from Jonathan Kahn, and I'm going to read this. This is from the Tri-State Voice, Metro New York Christian News and Community Events. But Jonathan Kahn is a prophetic rabbi. He's a messianic Jewish rabbi. And he's got some fabulous books. I mean, fabulous. The Harbinger, Harbinger 2, The Mystery of the Shemitah, just a lot of books, a lot of books. So anyway, this is from that, and it said September 11th was a warning sign to the United States. When the urgency and fervency he uses blow the shofar as the pastor of a messianic congregation, Jonathan Kahn has released a book that's a prophetic warning to America. Kahn's first book, The Harbinger, The Ancient Mystery That Holds the Secret to America's Future, quickly became New York Times bestseller and has struck a chord with many readers, especially those who take the words of 2 Chronicles 7:14 seriously. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And just a side note, that was that's the Great Awakening's scripture. Everything would be signed T-A-G, the Great Awakening, 2, not the number 2, you had 2 like eyes, so almost look like Tegel, 7:14. So we need to heal our land. But this is part of Jonathan Kahn's perspective. It's pretty interesting. And at the corner of Ground Zero, okay, the pastor messianic rabbi of Beth Israel Worship Center in Wayne, New Jersey, Kahn felt inspired to write The Harbinger following a visit to Ground Zero in 2004. That's when the first clue in what he saw was an unfolding mystery was revealed. At the corner of Ground Zero, I saw the first piece of the puzzle, the remains of a sycamore tree, said Kahn, who's the president of Hope for the World Ministries and can be heard on WMCA and other Christian radio stations nationwide, as well as Trinity Broadcast Network, who had a great program with Michael W. Smith we'll have to talk about. Oh, my gosh. Absolutely fabulous. We'll talk about that in a little bit. But he made the connection between the sycamore tree and the ones in Isaiah 9:11 is this that crazy number, huh? But anyway, he made a connection between that sycamore tree and the ones in Isaiah 9:11 that were destroyed following an attack on Israel, an attack that served as a harbinger of things to come. You catching that? Isn't that kind of interesting? So as he began to study this mystery, he began seeing similarities between ancient Israel and 21st century America. He preached a series of messages with this congregation on the topic and was encouraged to share it with a broader audience, and the idea for the Harbinger was conceived. Just like Israel was given 9 warning signs before its ultimate destruction, Khan believes that the terrorist attacks of 9/11 and events that followed were also a warning sign of impending judgment. The book, written in a narrative style, features these 9 clues. Although the Harbinger's 2 main characters, Nuriel, a New Yorker, and Prophet, the one who helps unveil the mystery, are fictional, the book is based on facts that are all too true. As he did with ancient Israel, Khan believes that God has likewise allowed America, a hedge of protection, to fail and an enemy to breach its borders in a devastating strike that began on September 11, 2001. It was, as with Israel, a nation's wake-up call. See, an awakening, not getting woke, an awakening, because an awakening is an empowering thing, so you can take action. Woke is a joke. Another key verse in the Harbinger is found in Isaiah 9:10. Bricks have fallen down, but we will rebuild with dressed stone. See, in the Harbinger, Khan points out that this verse was quoted 3 times by U.S. politicians in the days and years following the attacks. At first glance, they seem like very honorable, patriotic things to say. But when they examine in the context of Isaiah 9, they could be dreadful statements akin to a shaking your fist at God saying, we'll rebuild without your help. Bad plan. And isn't that exactly what happened here in New York? Sure, churches were packed on Wednesday, September 12th, and then the term God Bless America was reborn. But it didn't take long for that wave to subside. There was no real repentance, Khan said, and in the 10 years, we've moved even further away from God. Now, today, we're at 20 years, okay? We're at 20 years. And look at even how much further we have gone away from God's rules. This cannot be a good thing, okay? The Freedom Tower is currently the tallest building in New York and will be the highest in the nation when it's complete. But we will rebuild. On the 10-year anniversary of the worst attack on American soil, New York City Mayor Bloomberg did not invite a single clergy member to the ceremony, despite the vital role many played in the hours and days. But we will rebuild. They're not leaning on God. They're leaning on their own understanding. Speaking of the hallowed soil of Ground Zero, Khan calls it the spiritual birthplace of our nation. When George Washington was inaugurated on April 30th of 1789, New York City was the capital of the United States. After the ceremony at Federal Hall, he walked down to St. Paul's Chapel, where he dedicated the fledgling nation to God in prayer in the same manner that Solomon dedicated the temple in ancient Israel. America was established after the pattern of Israel. It was woven into our existence, where we were founded on after the pattern that blessed after the pattern, Khan said. We are now following in Israel's apostasy, turning to idols. Okay? We said this before on our show, that we actually have been, we're a nation founded on Judeo-Christian principles. But, you know, the left hates that. They don't want to hear that. But let's continue. And financial idols have fallen since the terrorist attack. Khan traces the Great Recession of 2008 to 9/11 in one of the book's most compelling chapters. In an article he wrote for Charisma Magazine, Khan reflects the crash of 2001 and the crash 2008, two greatest financial collapses in Wall Street in American history up to the time of their occurrence. Each has happened exact same Hebrew day, the day specifically appointed in the Bible for the judgment of a nation's financial realm. And the sign against people who've departed from God. Awaken, America. Awaken, America. Because you know what? Woke is a joke. See, in writing The Harbinger, he hopes that people will return to God. And even though the book can be seen as a mystery or a doom and gloom story, Khan said it ultimately is a love story about God's concern for his people and his plan to save them through Jesus Christ. So, isn't that interesting? And there's more. There's more. I mean, I've seen stuff on TBN, and this is from Tri-State Voice, And it's the Harbinger. 9/11 was a warning to the United States. There's a lot more that I've heard that he has played on Trinity Broadcast Network and spoke to a lot more things in the Harbinger. And now there's the Harbinger 2, because I guess we are at this awakening point. And we had COVID. I mean, come on. I mean, we talked about this the other day with the wars, the rumors of wars, the pandemics. I mean, there's so much going on in the world. People, we are at the beginning of the end. I don't even think we're at the beginning of the end. The end has been upon us for a long time, and we really need to awaken, and we need to get back to God, as we asked in Yasha Prayer Force. So there's just so much going on, and we know about these prophecies, and we have to let other people know. We have to awaken other people and share information. Now, sharing information is something that are many ways to do. Blog Talk Radio, going into stores, meeting with people that don't wear masks and say, hey, you're not a mask hole like me. But anyway, this was something I found to be extremely interesting. I hope you did too. I'm looking at the studio here, and there's other stuff. I do want to touch on this COVID piece. Hopefully, you've gone to the Daystar Television Network, and it's COVID.daystar.com. There's a ton of great information there. But talking now a little bit about the Delta variant. And see, here's the problem. It's the totality of evidence that counts, okay? And the totality of evidence for ivermectin is proving to be very, very effective. According to Drs. Corey Merrick and new advisor Dr. Flavio Catalani. And they really think the ivermectin is something that is good, something you could look up. Remember, this is not medical advice, but in Delhi, India, the ivermectin protocol just helped to eviscerate COVID outbreaks. They were going crazy, and that's all they had. See, ivermectin, from what a lot of these doctors are talking about, they're talking about it's effective, it's efficient, and it's in abundance, and guess what? It's cheap. And it's been proven. It does no harm. And I'm not saying go get cheap drench, but you could go to these America's Frontline Doctors, and they could prescribe. Now, I'm hearing there's prophylactic use of ivermectin as well. So it would be great to do some more research. I don't want to give any advice here because of, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on television. Just sharing information. And now, there is nothing wrong with taking vitamin C, vitamin D3, gargling with Listerine. You could get some budesonide very inexpensively. There's actually the budesonide that's it's rhinocort, but then that's the trade name. Budesonide is actually what it is, and it actually prevents, you know, viruses. It's a good thing for allergies. Okay, now, of course, you want to check with your doctor. I've been taking colloidal silver. And, you know, be very healthy. But we are in some interesting times, possibly end times. And, you know, we need to be empowered. But we need to be empowered, free individuals. And there is nothing more sustaining than somebody that knows that their thoughts are things. And they can be, do, have whatever their heart desires. And they are an awakened and empowered individual. And with God's help, see, here's the thing. We could do all things with our Creator's help. We have to tap into our higher consciousness. That's what the New Agers are saying, too. I mean, but friends, we're at a tipping point, and we need to awaken others. we need to be kind to each other. I mean, I find it to be so despicable to see people that can't even talk in a reasonable manner about a shot. I mean, seriously, do we really need a commander-in-chief? Is it constitutional for a commander-in-chief to dictate something to the populace as far as their own body? Where's the conversation, the honest conversation of my body, my choice? Okay? Don't know. Got to see it. We got to see it. But today, we have discussed a lot of things on this show. We went through the Yasha Perforce portion. We went to our history of remembering who we are and Fort Sumter, and I thought that was pretty interesting. We went a little bit into the Jonathan Kahn thing, spoke a little bit to the ivermectin, and just really, we are definitely in need of wisdom, and we need to reach other people with truth, wisdom, love, and, you know, go out and thank our first responders. If you see them, say thank you to them. I mean, you know, maybe go bring some gift cards to your local fire department or your local police department because, you know, they're on the front line, and what's happening with some of our more radical Congress individuals, they want to defund the police, like Jihad Omar, defund the police. Because, you know, on September 11th, some people did something. Seriously? Seriously? This is somebody that's representing the U.S.? Some people did something? Yes. Yes, Jihad Omar. Radical Islamic terrorists attacked our country. Okay, the same people, as we said, Joe Biden gave almost $90 billion of our military equipment to. I don't care. Radical Islam is radical Islam. Okay, terrorists are terrorists. People that don't take vaccines are not terrorists. They're people that are making free choices with their body. Okay, and people that don't take the vaccine, according to the science, if we're following science, are hurting themselves. Because according to the science, it says if you don't take the vaccine and you get COVID, you have worse symptoms. Because purportedly, this trial vaccine is something that helps to eliminate the dire circumstances and the horrible feelings of COVID, as does ivermectin. I think Joe Rogan took it for 2 days. He was fine in 2 days. And I know a lot of people who've had the COVID, and they're like, yeah, I felt like crap. And it was the worst flu and body aches I ever had. But then again, there's people that are asymptomatic. They don't even know they have had it. So, you know, you want to be an honest broker about this. Get a home test, not just for COVID, but for COVID antibodies. And truly, if you're following the science, anything that any sixth grader learned in science class is natural immunity. If your body has a natural immunity and a propensity to something, it is better because it's going systematically. That's the science. So, I mean, make your own decision on the vax, but I think we're going to see a lot of lawsuits from good, hardworking Americans. And isn't it interesting, the same people that want to insist that American taxpaying citizens get a trial vaccine is allowing people to pour in our borders without checking them. Anybody find that to be a little problematic? Yes, immigration is great. I'm a child of an immigrant. I am a first-generation born American. But guess what? They came to Ellis Island legally, and they became American. And certainly there are some doonads, which means stupid asses, kind of, that think that that's a racist comment. No, that's a true comment. It's not racist, okay? Come here legally. Assimilate. Be part of this great culture of America, this critical race theory garbage. Are you kidding me? Has anybody ever done an ancestry? Well, let me tell you, my born-in-Italy mother-in-law did an ancestry, and guess what? She's got African blood in her. Well, hello. So really now, how does that critical race theory fit around somebody who's from Italy that can go ahead and say that they have African blood? See, if anybody has any honesty in them, we are all pretty much a conglomeration of a lot of different things. Nobody's a pure-blooded anything, you know. And if you think you're a pure-blooded something, then really, you know, go get your head out of your third point of contact. This country is not a racist country. We have never been more racist. You know when we started getting a little more racist is when we had our first half African-American president in office, okay? I was cool. This is awesome. I didn't vote for him, but hey, you know what? Cool. We're all done with this race stuff now. We got a dude in there that's got black in him. We're good. Oh, no. Any chance that Barack Hussein Obama could bring up race, he did. This is Marxist theory, folks. This is all Marxist theory. It's all part of the same Marxist theory that they just want to take us over. And you know what? We need to awaken America. We need to awaken people. We need to pull our kids out of these public schools, or at least like a lot of these parents are doing now is going and fighting this good fight. Show up to school board meetings and use your voice. Use your voice. I was stunned a few years ago at the Palatine High School of Fremd, and we had this transgender boy that wanted to use the girls' locker room, and guess what? They got their way. You know what? That's ridiculous. That's an assault to our girls. You follow the science? If you have an XY chromosome and a penis, you are a male, okay? Now, they were willing to give accommodation and have a separate locker room just for transgender students. Fine, that's great. Oh, no, that's not equal. Well, excuse me, 16, 17-year-old girls have body dysmorphia up the wazoo. Their bodies are changing, and now you're going to have someone that has different mechanicals looking at them? This is so, so harmful. But it went through here. Now it's through the country. What happens, I guess, in this District 211 in Palatine, that's kind of like a testing ground. You know, we need to hold these school boards accountable. Show up to school board. School board's important. Your local government's important. And it's really time to awaken. But today I just want to, you know, let's remember September 11th. There's a lot of good shows on, you know, Newsmax has stuff, The Day That Shook the World on September 11th. And but we have to remember the heroes, because it hurts the heart to see what really happened to our nation. But by the grace of God, we will start truly awakening America and being empowered and awakened people. And it's truly our country. It is our time. We are here for such a time as this. So please reach out, join a group of other patriots, and, you know, or get on a campaign, somebody that has your same values and thoughts. And don't be afraid to reach out to other folks in your everyday life. I mean, I go to stores, you know, when I'm in the Jewel or whatever stores I go to, Walmart, and I see people that don't wear masks. I'm like, yeah. I said, you're not a mask hole either. And see, I mean, you could start engaging in conversations with people like that. Maybe they have other organizations to get involved in. There's more of us than they know. There's more of us. There's a lot of people that are really pissed off. This isn't a Democrat or a Republican thing at this point. This is a liberty, freedom versus totalitarian Marxist thing. This isn't political. This is truly a battle of evil versus good. And freedom is good. Wickedness is trying to control people. Okay? When you can't even control your own words, Joe Biden, as he stumbles and mumbles. When is he going to have that cognitive test anyway? I'm wondering. And please listen to our show about Kamala Harris and all of her affiliation with China and Russia. We did those shows on September 9th and 10th, and it was from a very high-level Army person. And they said that if Kamala Harris would have had to have passed a security test with her background, she would not have. And this is who's going to be our president if Joe gets the 25th or impeached or whatever happens to Joe. You know, Joe is not all there. Anybody that has a bit of honesty in their heart could see it. I mean, we've all engaged people that had memory loss. And if we're stuck with a Kamala Harris presidency, she will make history. Not as our first female president. Oh, no. As our first communist Marxist president. Because if you connect the dots, especially with these shows we did on the 9th and the 10th, talking about this, has all this information on her connections. And it's stunning. It's very stunning. But anyway, today is September 11th. Those heroes fought for freedom and liberty. And it's up to patriots and people with a servant's heart to maintain it. Like Thomas Jefferson, not Thomas Jefferson, Benjamin Franklin said, it's a republic if you can keep it. So we have to be awakened. We cannot be ignorant. We cannot be ignorant because the left depends on our ignorance. And we absolutely have a faulty press. I mean, it's totally, it's malfeasance, truly. But let's remember when Thomas Jefferson said, if a nation expects to be ignorant and free, it expects what was and never will be. This is why we need to awaken America. We need to reach out and talk to other people and get together. Social distance, yuck. And on a personal level, we have to be folks of good character, and we do have to watch our thoughts because they become our words. We have to watch our words, they become our actions. We have to watch our actions, they become our habits. We have to watch our habits, they become our character. And we have to watch our character because that ultimately becomes our destiny. We could look at that on an individual basis, you know, as a life coach, to go ahead and help people with their words, their thoughts, their habits, their emotions. Very important. Thoughts are things, okay? That's huge. So if here's another thing. If kids keep hearing that, you know, okay, because you're black or you're Hispanic or you're Asian, well, you're less. Whoever says that to them, if parents are telling their kids that certain people, certain groups of people are racist, these are the words that are destructive. These are the thoughts that are destructive to our country. Exactly what critical theory is. It's part of the destruction. So we have to remember, we have to watch our thoughts, our words, our actions, our habits, because ultimately individual character and the character of our nation is at stake. So let's remember, we need to awaken America. We cannot be ignorant. Ignorant and freedom just don't coexist together. And we need to each one reach one, each one teach one. And we need to be that change individually that we see. We need to be that person, that patriot, and that servant. Thank a police officer. Go bring your grocery cart back, okay? Or help some elderly person bring their grocery cart back. You know, let us be that change. Anyway, I want to thank you for joining me on this September 11th edition of Awaken America, Awaken to Empowerment Radio. It's our country. It's our time. We are here for such a time as this. We are awesome. This country is awesome. We were founded on biblical principles. So let's remember who we are, America, and let us be well, be blessed, be free. Let us be that change we wish to see. So with all that, peace, love, freedom, and empowerment. And, of course, we want peace of mind. Thank you for joining me today. This is Carol Parisi. We'll be back next time on Awaken America, Awaken to Empowerment Radio. We have to save our country, friends. Get out there. Do something. Join a fabulous group. You can go to awakenamerica.us. That's one of our groups. It's on a Ning. We have a website. you could see what things that are going on, and we'll catch you back here next time. Be well, be blessed, be free, be that change you wish to see, peace, love, freedom, and peace of mind. We're going to sign off with a little bit of Boston and pray for those who have lost others to these horrible tragedies. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Bye-bye.